Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, a website, a podcast, and a mobile app. When people get divorced, there are two things that could possibly go bye-bye after the divorce when you're starting to date and even during the divorce. And those two things are trust and vulnerability. So that's what I want to talk about today, because I think it's important that anyone who's divorced maintains a sense of trust in other people, including potential romantic partners, and also a sense of vulnerability. Because it's not easy to be vulnerable, but if you're willing to be vulnerable in your relationships, they're going to be more meaningful and fulfilling. So I want to talk about those two things and give you some tips and advice in moving on and learning how to trust and to be vulnerable during and after your divorce. I want to start with trust, because a question I get asked a lot from people is, when trust is broken in your marriage, in your relationship, can you ever trust again? And what's interesting is, years ago when I was getting divorced, I remember sitting in my therapist's office crying and asking her the question and saying, am I ever going to be able to trust anyone again? And first she looked at me and said, you know, I really want you to just sit here and cry and mourn your divorce. Just do that for a few minutes. And so I did that. And I remember it was the most helpful thing. You don't always have to go to therapy to talk and feel like you have to make conversation every minute. Sitting there crying and feeling safe, like I could trust her and be vulnerable, I'll never forget that moment. And that was in like 2007. And I still remember vividly how good that felt. So after the crying, we started talking about trust. And I think when you go through a divorce, trusting someone again almost seems unfathomable. Like, you can't even imagine letting someone into your heart and soul like you did when you were married. It's just too painful. And your vulnerability seems like it got stomped on and it got crushed, and you just can't see putting yourself out there again. I completely get it. So how do you trust again? Now, I have a Facebook group called the Divorce Girl Smiling Facebook group, and a member recently posted this question, and that's what brought this whole trust thing back for me. She wrote, how does one believe in trust again? Is there anyone I can fully trust besides my parents? I really don't think so. So why bother trying a second time? And there were a lot of responses to her question from women getting divorced who said, you know, you have to trust again. And then like some people said, oh, I can relate. I'm never trusting anyone again. You know, and then someone else said, well, you know, if maybe you have a friend you can trust and just trust close people and be careful on who you let into your world. And those are all really good responses. But the best one was a woman who wrote, who can I fully trust besides my parents? We can trust ourselves. And she wrote, we can trust ourselves. That is who we have to learn to trust. It comes with time. I never trusted myself, but I was forced into it post-divorce. That's when we all really need to trust ourselves. Once we trust ourselves again, we will make good decisions if we ever decide to get into a relationship. And I just love that response, because when you go through a divorce, this was my experience anyway, and I know so many people who feel the same way. You start to get all this wisdom, and you start to get a lot more mature in your feelings, and you don't even know how it happens, but all of a sudden, after several months or even a year, you start feeling like you're a lot more stable, you're a lot more calm in the sense that you're able to see things, you're able to make better decisions. You're not living in this chaotic culture that you've been living since the time you knew you were getting divorced until now. So with that calmness and that wisdom comes good decision making. The days of, you know, going out and getting wasted and dating all the wrong guys and fighting with your ex and making bad legal decisions maybe and making some bad financial decisions, they start to show up in the rearview mirror, I promise. And by the way, if you're listening to this, everybody does stupid stuff during divorce, including yours truly. So I'm not saying this happens to everyone. There are many divorced men and women who fall back into old patterns. Maybe they jump into a second marriage. Maybe they stay bitter. Maybe they just use alcohol as a crutch, whatever. But if you really get the help you need through therapy or maybe a divorce coach, I promise you, you will start making better decisions and you will get this calmness and this wisdom and you will learn to trust yourself, which will bleed over into trusting others. When you trust yourself, it's important because you have to trust yourself in your new romantic relationships moving forward. So for example, if you go out with a guy, like once I went out with this guy and he was getting all these texts, and I'm thinking he is having a texting conversation with a woman for our entire night out. I couldn't believe it. I was just like, wait, what? And it was late at night. And I knew it wasn't, you know, he didn't have kids, so it wasn't his kids. And I knew it was a woman. And it always bothered me. And I just said, you know what? I just don't trust him. Then there is a guy who might be so overly awesome to you and take you out on these great dates and even take you on nice vacations. But where is he over the holidays? Where is he on your birthday? Where is he to meet your mom when she comes in town or meet your children? So maybe this isn't the guy for you. I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but trust your gut instinct and trust that you have the ability now to make better decisions. Have that confidence in yourself. I think that when trust is broken in a marriage, trusting someone again is really hard. And this is a really good quote that I think I'm taking credit for. I don't think I've ever heard it before. It's pretty easy to fall in love, but it's very hard to trust someone. I want you to keep three things in mind when it comes to trust and your new relationships. Before I tell you the three things, I want to mention two Divorce Girl Smiling partners that I really want you to get in touch with if you're in need of their services. The first one is divorce attorney Catherine Miller, who's based out of New York and Connecticut, and she's the founder of the Miller Law Group. I've known Catherine for a couple years because I was on her podcast, which is called Divorce Dialogues, and I really like Catherine a lot. She's a mediator, and she gets involved in collaborative divorces. She's not someone to go to if you want to battle it out in court. I really like Catherine a lot, and I trust her. The second person I want to mention is real estate broker and certified divorce real estate expert, Leslie Glazer. Leslie is divorced and she's a mom, and she also was my real estate agent. And Leslie's really smart. She's really creative. She's an extremely kind, warm person who's really good under pressure. Catherine and Leslie can both be found on divorcegirlsmiling.com under Trusted Partners. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff. I'm your host, and I'm talking about trust and vulnerability. And I started to talk about three things to keep in mind when it comes to trust in your romantic relationships moving forward. The first one is, every person on this earth is unique. What I mean by that is, he's not your ex. He's an entirely different person. So don't get all paranoid and think he's going to be just like him. until or unless he gives you reason to feel that way. Secondly, trust your friends, your family, and your kids. What they have to say about him is very important. So if they tell you they don't like him, don't get mad. I know it's hurtful. It might be really frustrating and disappointing, but they have your back and they care about you. And number three, have faith, because things always have a way of working out for the best. I promise you. I'm actually studying Kabbalah now, and one of the things they say in the class is that there are no accidents. Everything happens that is meant to happen that way, and there's nothing you can do to control it. So if you go out with somebody and turn out to be really disappointed and frustrated that you can't meet anyone, and you thought he was this awesome, perfect guy for you, and he turns out not to be, don't worry about it. It's gonna happen. This just wasn't the right guy. Remember that even if you get into another relationship and trust is broken, you can still trust again. You can trust over and over again. Why? Because you trust yourself. And even the best decision makers can face bad timing, fate, or maybe even just bad luck. But good decision makers have a better chance of choosing good people. So the chances are, if you have the courage to trust yourself and trust again, it will work out for you, I promise. I want to move on to vulnerability, because that is something else that I think people going through a divorce fear immensely. So when you were married, if you think about it, you opened yourself up to your husband or your wife, and the person saw everything. They saw you naked. They saw you when you had indigestion. They knew your fears. They knew your faults. They knew your weaknesses, your insecurities. And still, he or she loved you for a while. You know, you were married for a while. And then he or she didn't. And so a lot of people ask, how am I going to be vulnerable again? I don't know if I have the strength to put myself out there and show somebody who I really am authentically. I'm telling you, that is not easy. And I am going to be perfectly honest. I was in a really long-term relationship that I was not authentic or vulnerable half as much as I am in my now relationship. And the relationship suffered because of that. So I believe that regardless of your fear of being vulnerable, a relationship that doesn't have vulnerability isn't that great. And actually, I want to tell you something. I know someone going through a divorce right now, and this person is telling me that she was never really able to show her authentic self. The marriage was very surface. The marriage lasted for about, I want to say, 8 or 9 years, and that's pretty long time. And this woman was saying that she really never was able to get to that level, and it just wasn't fulfilling or meaningful because I wasn't really me. I was trying to be someone else. So let me talk about vulnerability in general for a minute. If you think about it, anyone who is in the creative field or even in any job, writing, music, acting, producing, advertising, fashion, countless other industries, you're showing your vulnerability with every project you take on. So for me to do this podcast and talk about my experiences and my stories, I'm putting myself out there. I'm being vulnerable in the world. And if you think about what you do, just take a minute to think about it. You're probably showing your vulnerability as well. If you're in marketing and you come up with a whole marketing plan, you're taking a risk by presenting this plan to your team. That's being vulnerable. So I think the bottom line is that you're being more vulnerable professionally than you really realize. Now, what happens if you decide you're not going to put yourself out there? My answer is not much. So when I was an author and I published my first couple books, I used to attend a lot of like fundraising charities, and I'd pay for a table, and I would stand behind the table and sell books. And this was in my community. And I wrote about love and relationships, and everybody knew that these were really based on my stories. They were novels, but they were based on my actual stories. And back then, I don't think I was as good of a writer as I am now. And people would come up to the table, and one woman said, like, "Oh, yeah, I read your book. I didn't really think it was that good." And someone was like, "Yeah, I read your book," and then just walked off. So I knew that there were people who read my book who didn't really like it. But I would say there were many more people who would come up to me and say, "Oh my gosh, I stayed up all night reading your book. I loved it. You're so adorable. I loved your characters. I was rooting for them. I could relate to them. They were funny," whatever. And that was okay with me. So my whole point on this is, if you're going to be vulnerable, you can't really care what people think. Does that make sense? Not everyone is going to think you're the greatest person on earth. So what? You could be in a relationship with someone and show your vulnerability, and they might break up with you, and that could be hurtful and upsetting. But then you could be in another relationship who ends up being the love of your life because you showed your vulnerability again and the person really loved you. Now, is that easy to do? Hell no. But why do it? Because there are gifts that come from the courage it takes to expose yourself, both in a relationship and just in life in general. I'm going to tell you what the gifts are. There are four gifts that I wrote down. Before I do that, I want to mention two more Divorce Girl Smiling Partners. I want to mention Katz and Stefani, a Chicago and Bannockburn-based law firm with about 10 or 11 lawyers. I love that firm. They're extremely prestigious, and they're well-known, and they're smart, and they're experienced. And Dan Stefani is one of the co-founders, and I have known him for like 20 years. And I've actually referred a few friends to him, and they've called me almost crying, saying how, "Thank you so much. He was wonderful. I'm definitely going to work with Katz and Stefani." So you can find Katz and Stefani on divorcegirlsmiling.com. The second person I want to mention is Ruth Schwartz, who is an insurance professional. Now, when you're getting divorced, a lot of times people are required in their divorce agreements to obtain life insurance. And if you need to talk to somebody about that, call Ruth. I've known her for a decade. She is extremely experienced, smart, cares a ton about people, and she can also help you with some other financial needs and answer questions. And by the way, there's no cost to talk to any of these people. So you can find Katz and Stefani and Ruth Schwartz on Divorce Girl Smiling. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilosoff. I'm talking about trust and vulnerability during and after divorce. And I'm about to tell you the four gifts you get if you're willing to be vulnerable. The first one is, it's like having a real Prada bag instead of a knockoff. So if you're listening to this, and you know how sometimes you buy a purse and it's not the real thing, and it doesn't really mean much. But if you are willing to spend the money and you buy a real Prada bag, I've done it like I think twice in my life. And I still have these bags after 35 years because they mean so much to me because I know they're real. And I think the same thing goes with relationships. You don't want to be a fake Prada. You want to be the real thing. The second gift is you're living your authentic life. And what I mean by that is people are going to like you or they won't. And I want you to be able to say, if that person doesn't like me, that's okay. I like me, and that is empowering. As long as you like yourself, I promise it's going to work out. Number three, it just feels good. Doesn't it feel good when you know in your core that you're not fake with somebody? You're really being you, and he loves it. Don't be afraid. It is a huge turn on to most people if you're vulnerable. And number four, you know your relationship is real. So I'm going to answer the question you're probably thinking. What if I show my vulnerability and he dumps me? My answer, then he didn't love you enough to stick it out. You move on, and eventually you're going to meet someone who wants to stick it out with you, no matter what. And what if you show vulnerability and things are still great? Then your relationship isn't fake. It's a real Prada. I want to close with saying one more thing about vulnerability. Here is what vulnerability isn't. Now, if you go to a dictionary or online and you Google, what is the definition of vulnerability? The definition says susceptible to being wounded. And many people might associate that with being weak. So that is not true. Being vulnerable does not mean being weak. On the contrary, it means having courage and strength. Number two, being vulnerable doesn't mean you have to share every single thing in life with your partner. Vulnerability warrants the respect to keep certain things private, and everyone is entitled to that. So, I want to thank you for listening. I hope truly that this has helped you in trusting and being vulnerable during and after your divorce. It is an honor to have this podcast, and I truly hope I'm helping you. And if you want to reach out to me, if you have any questions or you need any referrals or you want to talk about something, send me an email at Jackie@divorcedgirlsmiling.com. And if you want to learn more, visit divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you real soon.